Welcome, always with pleasure and gusto, to Sid Griffin.
Hi, Stuart. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
Well, it's good to talk to you again, Sid.
Yeah, man.
For people who, I should say, this is in the light of the documentary about him that your good self appear in, along with many other luminaries of rock and roll, such as David Crosby, David Crosby sometimes with his woolly hat on and sometimes with it off. I noticed during the watching him thing. Yeah,
he's got a Where's Wally thing going on with that hat.
He has got a Where's Wally. He's also got, this may not be a reference that rings very true to you, Sid, but he's also got a very compo from Last of the Summer Wine look going on in several bits. For people who don't, know, why should we care and why should we watch a documentary? Tell us about the merit, the significance of Gene Clark.
Well, there's two things if you ask Sid Griffin, and I'll tell you what they are. One is Gene is a rock and roll Lochinvar. He's this young, dramatic, dynamic, talented guy that ultimately loses out, that ultimately inadvertently falls in his own saber. He should have made it. He had all the tools, as they say in sport, and he didn't. He had everything going for him. And the second thing is, he's a real cautionary tale for young people out there that want to get in the limelight and think it's going to be a bed of roses or this wonderfully warm glow basking down on it. It's very, I'm mixing metaphors wildly, but it's very, very tough. And if Gene Clark couldn't handle it, a big, strong, handsome, talented guy from the middle of the United States, what chance do so many of us have?
Yeah, because it is, you're right, it's a cautionary tale of kind of lost talent. Just how talented was he, in your opinion?
In my opinion, the Byrds were fantastic songwriters. Obviously, we know I'm a mega fan, but I think Gene not only was the most prolific, was the most consistent songwriter of the Byrds. He's got the most classics to his name when all is said and done. Now, the question mark that's raised is he didn't sell any records. Chris Hillman sold some great records with, of course, Desert Rose for one, and then we all live his work with Graham and the Burritos. Roger McGuinn had the Byrds top to bottom and did some fantastic solo stuff we know of, and David Crosby, Stills, Nash, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Say No More.
Yeah.
Gene didn't have any commercial success, so it's up to sort of guys like this Paul Kendall, who's made this wonderful DVD documentary, The Bird Who Flew Alone, to keep the torch burning.
Yeah, we should say The Bird Who Flew Alone is the title of the documentary, the triumphs and tragedy.
A lot of tragedies.
Of Gene Clark. Did you get a phone call one day from Paul Kendall? Is that how it happened?
He called me and asked if I wanted to participate in the documentary, and he and his sons have done such a great job. It's their film. He'd seen the Graham Parsons thing I did for the BBC, which I'm pleased to report. There's a poster of my Graham Parsons documentary upstairs by the men's loo here in Western House.
Is that?
Yes, framed. Thank you very much.
Yay.
So anyway, Paul Kendall's done this wonderful documentary, The Bird Who Flew Alone, about Gene with his sons. It's Four Sons Promotion, S-U-N-S, a little pun there. And I mean, it's fantastic. I'm jealous. I have some experience in this area, and I'm jealous. It tells Gene's tale top to bottom. I took my sister Eleanor, who I pray is listening in Alabama. I took her to the media debut of 8 days ago here in London, and she didn't know who Gene Clark was. I mean, she knew who the Byrds were. She's not a fan of that kind of thing. And she said it's just a great film. It comes off really, really well, and this guy's done a tremendous job. And my sister worked in media, and I thought, well, this is a thumbs up, because she doesn't know this story top to bottom.
That's what I thought, too. I thought this is just a good, if tragic story, told brilliantly, and it's almost, you almost don't have to know or care about the Byrds' music to like it.
I agree.
But of course, any right-thinking person would.
Well, of course.
Of course.
You and I would say that.
Let's hear. Okay, well, we're going to play maybe one of the classics that he wrote for the Byrds. I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better. This is typical of his contribution to the Byrds, would you say?
I do. I think this is his best Byrds song, but by no means his only good Byrds song.
Just never. It never doesn't sound wonderful, does it?
I never tire of it. I never tire of it. I think it's just, it's like Look Through Any Window by the Hollies. You hear it and you're just in 65, 66. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
Beautiful. I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better by the Byrds, written by Gene Clark, who's the subject of the documentary that Sid Griffin and I are talking about, The Bird Who Flew Alone. So why does it go wrong in the Byrds for Gene?
Well, apparently, there's a number of reasons. You've got young men jockeying for position, as you and I have talked about on this show before. So many of the bands we've talked about had a lot of fame early on, and it's young men, testosterone to the fore, arguing about rubbish. Who spilled the Coke in the van? Yeah. And I mean the soda pop.
Yeah.
And it's just arguing about rubbish. And guys jockeying for position. Then Gene had songs on the B-sides of things like Tambourine Man, which was number one in the States. Turn, 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 number one in the States at Christmas 65. So Gene had the money coming in before the others. And they were literally hitchhiking and taking the bus in L.A. to the rehearsal hall where they were rehearsing. And Gene had a snazzy car. Now, that's fair enough. He had the B-side, and the mechanical royalties are the same on a vinyl single as the A-side and the B-side. You got the same amount of dough for writing. But it raised hackles, and of course now everybody regrets it. But of course now everyone's grown up and mature, can look back and feel, you know, differently about things. But it's young men being a close place, confined too much. And as Tom Petty said, that everyone's sort of jockeying for position. Everybody wants to be noticed. Everybody wants to make the contribution. Everybody wants the cute girls to notice them. And that's perfectly natural. I'm not bad-mouthing any band, including ones I've been in. It's just the way it goes.
Here's the from the documentary. Here, Roger McGuinn and David Crosby talking about the kind of exact moment it all goes wrong.
We were flying to New York to do a Murray the K special. This is maybe a year and a half into the Byrds. Gene was already on the plane when I got there, and he was in a cold sweat. And being a sensitive person, I thought, well, maybe he knows something. You know, maybe he's picking up on something, like there's something wrong with the plane. But he said, I can't stay on the plane, and I have to get off.
Big moment. Stood up, looked at us, got off the plane.
And I said, Gene, you can't be a bird if you
can't fly.
And
that was it.
Oh,
you
good
can't,
clip.
Good clip. You can't be a bird if you can't fly.
And it's true.
Yeah.
Literally and metaphorically. It's quite
literally
true.
Literally and metaphorically, yeah. And also, of course, the film is pretty unflinching about the other problem, his drinking.
Yes, and it's odd that – not odd, it's tragic. We think – I assume you do. I think of the Byrds as psychedelic warriors, sort of pushing back the boundaries of the sort of timid pop music of the day. And it's just one of life's great ironies and tragedies that two of them are gone due to a drink.
Yeah.
It's just – it's heartbreaking. And I – didn't have the pleasure of knowing Michael Clark hardly at all. I bumped into him a few times. But Gene, I knew to a certain extent. I'm not standing up and down saying I was friends with the great man, but I knew him first name basis. He was kind. He gave me great encouragement early on, which is one reason I'm so glad Paul Kendall called me about this documentary. But he was, I'm thinking of an alcoholic cousin I had. He went from sobriety to drink. And it was a never-ending, not so much a battle as a merry-go-round. It just went back and forth, swings and roundabouts, as we say in Britain. And it was just a tragedy. He couldn't have stayed off that merry-go-round a little further. But that's ultimately one of the great things that defeated him, to get some form of solace or succor or personal of confidence. He would drink, and I don't think I'm saying anything out of school here. I think we all agree with that, everyone that knew him.
Here's Peter, his bass player from the 70s, because you think it Shines essentially was at the roots of this.
I do, I think, and a great disappointment at not being where he should have been, because he was still friends with Roger McGuinn and David Crosby and Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda. And so many of his friends, you know, he could take a phone call from, say, Jack Nicholson, which how many people would like to do that?
Yeah.
Yet he wasn't, he must have known he was leaving or had left that social echelon. So what Peter Oliva's got to say is pretty poignant.
I was in Hollywood, and I didn't have a car, so you know I was jumping. I hitchhiked, you know, and actually I got in the car, and she goes, "Oh, hi, you know, so you look interesting. Are you a musician, you know, or something like that?" And I said, "Yeah." And well, who do you play with? And I said, "I play with Gene Clark." She goes, "Oh, him." She goes, "Well, he's a bit of trouble, isn't he? I mean, you know, that guy's got a reputation in this town." And I'm going, who are you? You know, do you work in the music business? You know, I'm Frank Sinatra's secretary. I said, you're Sinatra's secretary. What do you know about G. Clark? She goes, honey, you'd be surprised what we know. You know, so it was pretty amazing, you know. I mean, the people knew about Gene.
That is pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. Word gets around in Hollywood.
Let's end with something. Let's end on a happier note, though, with the record No Other, which is now regarded as a masterpiece, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he's got several masterpieces. Yeah. I think the first Dylan Clark album is the only only attempt at melding bluegrass with soul music, and I think it succeeds. I love the No Other solo singer-songwriter record, and I love the one before it, The White Light. Not one before, they're out of I'm speaking out of order now, but White Light's a great one. He made great records, folks, but it never happened for him, and it's just a heartbreaking story.
Tell us, set up Silver Raven, which we're going to play as much as we can of.
Well, Silver Raven, Gene had a thing about flight and satellites. I guess it emanates from McGuinn and the birds and the whole thing, and Gene also had a side of real spirituality to him. He was not, I don't want to paint him when I speak of drink. I don't want to paint him as any kind of lowbrow in a down seedy tavern down by the waterfront.
Yeah.
Gene had a real, he in a way had a Van Morrison side when Van sort of closes his eyes and starts moaning on about, and we sailed to Caledonia. Gene had that kind of spiritual side where you'd look at him on stage and he was so into it. He could take you away much more than just a guy playing music well and singing well. And Silver Raven is that reference to Mother Earth. We're doing a lot of damage to her within in the environment, to a satellite above observing the same. And it's just, it's two chords, musicians. It's E and C over and over with a passing chord of B major a couple times thrown in to break it up. And it's just, it's spellbinding. It's genius.
Let me tell you, good people, Sid Griffin sings and plays as well as he speaks. And the lucky people of Scotland get a chance to see him really soon. The Cole Porters, Sid's band, are in Leith on Bonfire Night, the 5th of November. Then the night after in Aberdeen, the night after that in Falkirk, the night after that in Kinross, and then finishing on the 9th in Glasgow at the Woodend Bowling and Tennis Club. Now, they can check this out at your website, can they, Sid?
They can indeed. I look forward to seeing anybody, and I'll answer all questions on Gene Clark, and okay. I mean that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's always a delight to speak to you, Sid.
Thanks for having me on, Stuart.
Have you seen Silver Ray? She has wings and she can fly.